from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Station 670, The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
The Score!
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
3 balls, 2 strikes, bases loaded. The payoff pitch, a swing and a high drive. Deep right field. This one on its way. It is long gone. A grand slam from Seiya Suzuki. And the Cubs with a 9-run top of the first inning. One hit off the facing of the front of the Charo Lodge there, which is beyond the Giants' bullpen. A blast from Suzuki, his 4th home run of the spring.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Ladies and gentlemen, game on. This is not a drill. Oh, the low brass means we are here. That is the opening theme music to This Week in Baseball from decades ago. That one is called Jet Set. At the end of the show, you'll hear the closing music, which is called Gathering Crowds. And sparks a certain sense of joy and wistfulness. And all sorts of deep-seated emotions. That's what Gathering Crowds does. But that's at the end of the show. That's to leave you with a certain feeling and vibe that will hopefully carry you all through the week up until next week's show. As you survive inferior thought processes, inferior sports, and inferior radio shows, frankly. But here, Jet Set at the top will hopefully get you going. Good morning, everybody. I'm playful. I'm in a playful mood. It's me, Matt Spiegel, here with Hit and Run. We get to talk baseball every Sunday morning right here on 670 The Score in this unique 2-team town. And opening day is here. The oddness of a March 28th opening day, a Thursday when everybody's in action. Gone are the Reds as the first day game. Gone is the staggered schedule of the first couple days. Here are all 30 teams in action with 15 games on Thursday. White Sox will be here hosting the Detroit Tigers. Would be a fun day to be strolling through the broadcast level, wouldn't it? For White Sox Tigers on Thursday. Cubs will be in Texas. Would be an awfully fun day to be in Texas and see the Rangers get fitted with their rings and an entire Cubs roster and organization looking, wondering when they might get to do the same. And you and I, well, we just get to hang out for baseball season. I'm excited. I need it. How about you? You know, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why it comes in handy to have baseball season right about now. One is our potential boredom with some other sports. You know, if you have some of that, it's understandable. Another reason to be excited is just because baseball is awesome. Another reason to be excited is that it does mean the weather is going to break. It does mean that things eventually are going to warm up, and you can picture yourself on the back porch, on the balcony, in the backyard, or just in the recliner with the window open, watching a game, listening to a game. your six-month companion is close at hand. There's nothing like it, man. 162 games, absolutely nothing like it. I need baseball in my sports diet. Got a draft on Tuesday night for a fantasy league I'm very, very excited about. Are you in a league? Are you doing that this year? Do you do daily fantasy? Whatever it is for you, there's so many different ways to baseball these days. And I'm hoping you're looking forward to it. Maybe you're going to play Beat the Streak and try to win $56 million. Or is it $5.6 million? It doesn't really matter. It's impossible to win. Trust me, I tried. I documented it for a full season a couple of years ago. I was like, oh my God, I can do this. No, I can't. Wait, other people can do this? No, they can't. But it's still fun to try. Maybe I'll try again this year. Looking forward to talking to you all morning long. Cubs fans, Sox fans, baseball fans at 312-644-6767. That's the phone number. That's how you reach our producer, Sean Sears. And I'll be with you here all morning long. At about 10:25, our old friend Herb Lawrence, former SCORE teammate, now covers the White Sox for CHGO. Looking forward to talking to Herb. It's been a long time. Let's have a real conversation about the Chicago White Sox. And then Jack McMullen from Just Baseball, who was at spring breakout in Florida last week. Want to talk to him about prospects and really get you thinking about what Cubs prospects are going to impact the team this year and what White Sox prospects, if any, might impact the team this year. And the phone lines are open. The text lines are open. We all get to hang out and talk about your teams as you see fit. We are broadcasting, by the way, from the Hyundai studios. And we thank Hyundai and everyone at your local Hyundai dealers for helping us broadcast here. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Spring training action for the Cubs continues later on today against the Mariners. Coverage begins at 3 right here on 670 The Score with Zach Zaidman and Ron Coomer on the call. I was listening to Zach and Ron a bit yesterday. For the latest news on the Cubs or Sox, try listening to chapters from our show through the Odyssey app. Just search for 670 The Score and tap on a recent episode of our show to get started. And oh, by the way, this Thursday, Bernsey and Holmes and Rahimi will be live from 10 to 2 at Buffalo Wings and Rings on Halstead prior to the White Sox home opener. That's brought to you by Modelo. And then Monday, the 1st of April, they're going to be at Sluggers in Wrigleyville from 10 to 12:45. Brought to you by BetMGM. That's before the Cubs home opener at Wrigley Field. Join the midday show, Bernsey, Holmes, and Rahimi for both those shows to kick off the baseball season on March 28th and on April 1st right here on 670 The Score. So here's the thing. I think the Cubs are going to be good. I think they are the favorite to win that division. They ought to be the favorite to win that division. The division does not scare me right now. The Reds, have you noticed the Reds' injuries? The Reds are the team that I thought might be putting it all together by this time. If you'd asked me early next year who would be the biggest rival, the team that you'd fear the most next season, the way that the Cardinals were playing last year, I would have said the Reds. That interesting mix that always has to happen between all the kids kind of arriving together and the well-chosen free agent and veteran signing. They really haven't done much with the well-chosen free agent and veteran signing. Just a couple things, but now a lot of the kids are injured. Matt McClain's shoulder is a big problem. He's out for a while. Nick Friedel is out for a while. Their prospect, Edwin Arroyo, is out. He's going to miss the whole year. Noel V. Marte got an 80-game suspension. That's a big-time prospect that they were hoping to get something from this year. So they are battered by injuries and suspension. They're starting Frankie Montas on opening day as some sort of message to Hunter Green. I can't really figure that out. Anyway, the Reds have not coalesced to add up to the kind of rival that scared me within the National League Central. In terms of the Brewers, no Corbin Burns at the top of that rotation. No Brandon Woodruff anymore. That era is over. Freddie Peralta gets the opening day start. Wade Miley is the number two starter. Devin Williams, the closer, is going to miss several months. The Craig Council magic is gone. Will his buddy Pat Murphy, Murph, be able to carry on some of what the Brewers do? Sure, some of it, and they've got some good young players. Jackson Churio is the opening day center fielder, and he's going to be interesting. He's played all of six games at AAA, basically skipping AAA. Signed an $82 million contract and will be the opening day center fielder. But anyway, the real rival, the team that scares me the most, It's the Cardinals. I think we're back. I think we're back to a Cubs-Cardinals-led division.
Ooh.
Well, they played awful defense last year. You know, Sean, there's reasons to feel like the Cardinals are not ready, truly. They played awful defense all year, which was a hallmark. That went away. We'll see if it comes back. Mm-hmm. Both Goldschmidt and Arenado took offensive steps backwards last year. And then they signed like four pitchers over the age of 36, something like that. They got a huge pile of olds in the rotation.
They got to replace Adam Wainwright somehow.
Yeah, that's right. They got a bunch of dudes who are nearing Adam Wainwright status. Now, but they're still the Cardinals, and I suspect that Goldschmidt and Arenado will step it back up. But here's the thing. These Cubs are good. They are. They're not great. I wouldn't pick them right now to be great. But great's on the table because they're also not done putting the team together. The way that Craig Counsell talks about all the depth and all the kids, you can tell that he is serious about wanting to use everybody. And he should. They've got a bunch of kids who could and will contribute. Christopher Morel gets the shot at third base every day. If I had to set the over-under on Matt Shaw's arrival at MLB, July 1, something like that. Could even see earlier, theoretically.
I told David Haw June.
Maybe June 15. It's usually where I set those things. Mm-hmm. June 15, July 1, somewhere in there. Folks, in terms of this starting rotation, Justin Steele is your ace, and we'll talk plenty about that rotation. I'm a believer in Justin Steele. I'm glad he's okay after taking that ball off the knee earlier in the week. But there will be a big right-handed bat misser in this rotation by the end of July. And I'm not sure if it's going to be a trade deadline acquisition or if it's going to be Cade Horton or Ben Brown. Somebody's going to get added along the way here, especially if this team shows that they're worthy. And I think they're going to show that they're worthy because some of the mistakes from last year at the beginning of the year that frankly cost them the division are not going to be repeated by Craig Counsell because he's overseeing all sorts of processes. And he's in on every conversation. If Counsell's here last year, I think Mike Tauchman probably starts the year with the big club. Then you're not dealing with some of the right field absurdity that we were dealing with. And I don't even know. If Counsell's here last offseason, if they signed Eric Hosmer, if they signed Trey Mancini, if they signed Tucker Barnhart, all three of those were disasters. It's just an extra voice who gets listened to in the mix by Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins might have made a difference with some of the biggest mistakes of last spring. The bottom line is there's a lot of good players, and the good players are going to hit towards the top of the lineup. We're going to see Bellinger in the top three. We will see Seiya Suzuki in the top three. You heard his grand slam right there. Remember that in his final 47 games last year, Suzuki hit .356 with an on-base of .414 and a slugging percentage of .672. That's 47 games. He was well over 1,100 in OPS with 37 RBIs, 34 runs scored. I really do believe that benching in early August woke him up, changed something, and he is ready to unleash full Seiya. So we'll see. But Suzuki and Bellinger will be in the top of the lineup. Probably Ian Happ, because the truth about the leadoff position is that a guy who has an OBP of .360 with 21 homers and 14 steals, it's not elite, but that can play among leadoff hitters around baseball. Take a look around at the walks and the OBP among leadoff hitters in baseball, and Hap's a lot higher than you think. An imperfect player, yes. But worthy of the top three, I think so. So I'm suspecting if he's healthy, we get a Hap, Suzuki, Bellinger top three with Christopher Morel four and Nico Horner revitalizing a bottom third of the lineup by hitting probably seventh. Something like that is what I'm betting on. And somewhere in the middle between that four and seven is the guy who is the key to the Cubs' offensive success. and that's Michael Bush. He really is the key to me. If that is legit left-handed stick in the middle with some pop, and I saw him homer twice in spring, I did a game where he both homered and doubled off left-handed pitching. If that is real and legit, the lineup makes a hell of a lot more sense and becomes a lot more daunting from both sides.
Speaks, how is the ball coming off his bat? I've heard it's like you see him in one game and you're like, okay, this ball flies off his bat. What was your impression?
Yeah, no, I was very impressed. Was very impressed with the way the ball came off Michael Bush's bat. Impressed with the swing. A nice wide stance, but comfortable. Albert Pujols, he told me, is the first guy that he grew up loving and imitating at the plate. But there's some interesting pieces in there, and there are more kids ready to help. We'll talk rotation later, but I've got a friend who bets overs and unders on win totals every year, and I've advised him to hammer the Cubs win total that he got of 83.5. I'd hammer 84.5. I think this team is going to win the division. I'm not going to say it's an 80-win floor, because that was last year's storyline and last year's life that I had to lead. But I have told him to go ahead and hammer that 83.5. Because remember, this was not some broken offense last year. Yes, you wanted more homers, and hopefully they'll get some with Bush, who's the only real full-time addition to what they are putting out there. But this was an offense that was third in runs last year. It was not broken. They did a lot of non-homer things well to try and get runs across. Now if they get some more pop to go in with it, and they're used better, they're utilized better with the council effect. I'm looking forward to the way that is. Phone lines are wide open for you, the Cub fan, at 312-644-6767. First hour dedicated to you guys and me. And the White Sox fans, it is wide open for you as well. And it's a tough spot. The White Sox still have 42 players in camp. They just added Robbie Grossman. And there's way too much interest and excitement about Robbie Grossman for a big league team. But Robbie Grossman can play a little bit, and we'll talk about him along the way. It's just a tricky spot because the roster is almost set now, but they wanted it to be well set by the 19th. And, well, look, can we go ahead and play what they're selling to themselves and what they're selling to you? We'll play it when we come back, Sean.
Hey,
we'll play.
Now.
Yeah, no, not that. That guy gets a little bit of a leash from me. I know how hard it is to do play-by-play. John Schriffen gets a little bit of a leash from me.
Hey,
just he just hasn't done enough baseball. Give the man time to do some baseball. You want to talk about the hiring and the pool and all that? You can. But in terms of listening to the broadcast and judging the broadcast, I'm going to give that man some leash. I'm hosting the PBP, the Play-by-Play Podcast, PBP, Voices of Baseball. You can just search Voices of Baseball anywhere you get your podcasts. Season 2 is going to come out in a couple of weeks here. And I know way too much about how difficult it is from research and from practice to go ahead and hammer from the get-go. So we'll see. But we'll play what the White Sox are selling you and discuss what the actual White Sox reality is. Because it's tough. There are a few things to get excited about. Just a few I've got. Let's see. One, two, okay, three. I think I've got three. I mean, maybe four. But I'll find more. We always find more, don't we? But here's where it is. Here's what I'm asking you, the callers, the 312-644-6767. You think the Cubs are good? Are they the favorite to win this division? And you, the White Sox fan, I really want to know if in this year of an obvious rebuild, in year one of the Chris Getz era, in another year of the Pedro Grifol era, with all these acquisitions and all who have gone away, who are you excited about? What are you excited about? I'm curious. I'm genuinely curious. I've got a few, and I'll be sharing them with you this hour, that's for sure. but I'm curious what you genuinely have in your baseball heart to feel excited about and to feel good about. Let me know. Phone number is 312-644-6767. You can dial it in at any time. Text line is the same, and you can reach us there. The Score is always available for you. Also on Twitter, at Hit and Run, or at Matt Spiegel 670. Sean Sears is here. I'm here. We'll play what the White Sox are selling to themselves and to you when we come back and discuss if reality agrees or not. It is Hit and Run. We're back on the 24th of March on 670 The Score.
We're back with more Hit and Run.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball.
On 670 The Score.
No crying.
I see a winning team being developed. It starts in the clubhouse. And I know fans, they only see what's going on the field. But when it gets, you know, in those dog days of summer or late in the season, you have a group of guys that you're going to be able to trust are handling their business to prepare for a game, to stay connected, and just to be bought in to help bring a championship here. Like, when you hear guys talking about selflessness, like, I promise you that's going on inside the clubhouse.
That is White Sox outfielder Brett Phillips. If you had told me that Brett Phillips was only 29, I never would have believed you. It's Matt Spiegel here on 670 The Score. My goodness, I remember Brett Phillips being a big part of the Josh Hader and Carlos Gomez trade way back when, between the Brewers and the Astros, and Phillips was part of that, and then Phillips traded in the Mike Moustakas deal to the Royals, and then he was in Tampa Bay for some of their years, including in the World Series against the Dodgers. And then he's bounced around Baltimore and the Angels. Now a minor league deal with the White Sox in January. And it looks like he's going to break camp with this team now that Kevin Pillar and the aforementioned Mike Moustakas are gone. Brett Phillips is a great glue guy, a really solid bottom of the roster guy. They've got a lot of people who might fill that kind of role. The question is if they have enough good players to be a decent team. It is opening day on Thursday. This is when hopes should be springing eternal. And I hear you, Texter. Texter says, I like your show, but I don't like your negativity about the White Sox. That is ridiculous. Anything can happen in baseball. That's from Steve. Steve, it's true. We've seen it. We've seen crazy things happen. And hey, John Paul Morosi from MLB Network said last week on Parkins and Spiegel that he thinks it's possible the White Sox could have a winning record. It needs to be proven to me. Here's what they're selling you. Here's what the White Sox are talking about in terms of FAST, what it's all about. This is from a behind-the-scenes video that was released the other day on Twitter. And callers, we're going to get to you on Cubs and Sox at 312-644-6767. If you want to hop in, this hour is wide open for your calls and for me. Here's the behind-the-scenes video.
This offseason, we talked about trust, professionalism, and execution. We also talked about playing fast, what exactly fast means. It doesn't mean speed. It means, you know, fearless, aggressive, selfless, technically sound.
It's executing. Give it to us, we take it.
First and third one out. Keep it off the ground in the middle. Come on. Two.
Wow, bro.
That's got to be our identity.
That one is hit hard. Trying to go first to third is Moncada. This new White Sox squad, they're taking extra bases. This is fun.
This is the kind of baseball that Pedro wants the Sox to play.
When people watch us play and when other teams are playing against us, they need to know who the f*** we are and what we bring to the table every single day. So that takes us to March 19th. After March 19th, we have 5 games left. Those last 5 games, I want to play full speed. Starter, bullpens, matchups, signs, the whole thing. And my questions are, where are we right now? And where do we need to be on March 28th? We keep moving forward to where we want to be on opening day.
Oh!
So March 19th is when Pedro Grifol wanted to be locked and loaded and play the last five games at full speed. The problem is the roster is still massive. Big decisions are still happening. They have a bigger roster right now. They have more people in camp right now than just about any team in baseball, with 42 people in camp still making big, big decisions. That's the way they want to play. And look, if they play that way, and if they play fun, if they play clean, if they play with good vibes and good fundamentals, that will be a satisfying watch if you're giving yourself to it. It's just a question of if the results will be there to keep you interested and make you interested from the get-go. Last year, they didn't play clean. They didn't play well right from the start. That division was over. That season was over after a month, and everybody knew it, and that meant the window was over after a month. I would love to see a positive start. It's just, it's going to take a lot of people stepping up. And some of the people that they're hoping on, it's hard to get super excited about. I'll be honest, Nick Nastrini, the Dodgers young pitcher who comes into the rotation and has a shot to make it right away, got roughed up badly in his last start. 5 earned runs, 5 hits, and 3 and a third. Walked 5, didn't get a strikeout. He said that the location was off, and so he had to come in fastball, and they were all sitting on fastball. He's one of many, many guys towards the bottom end of rotations all around baseball. Your command can't be off, because if they can sit on one versus the other, and if it's one especially, they're going to gobble you up. Dominic Fletcher is one of the few interesting kind of youngish players who can grow and develop on this team. That's David Fletcher's little brother. Kind of handed the right field job in early spring. The former Diamondback, you know, Josh Barfield, one of the new executives, knows him well and believes in him. He's had a very rough spring, 7-for-44 with 18 Ks. Did hit a 2-run homer the other day. He's pretty much locked into being your starting right fielder, maybe your backup center fielder for Luis Robert. Now that Kevin Pillar has been bounced, I don't think we'll see Gavin Sheets out there in right field anymore. I hope we do not. Those are like two guys I was excited about, but it's been a tough spring. I'll give you one that I am excited about as we get ready to take your calls, and that's Eric Fetty. Yeah, I'm that guy. I'm that guy excited about Eric Fetty. Okay? He was really bad in Washington after 5 years at an ERA in the middle fives, 88 starts, 102 games. But then while he was in Korea, he added the sweeper slider, added the split changeup, got a better feel for his sinker, changed his attack plan, and dominated in Korea last year. 20-6 with a 2.00 ERA, 209 Ks, just 35 walks and 180 and a third innings. And here's the thing. His workout buddy, his partner in development for several years, has been Logan Webb, who was not an instant success with the Giants. He was a guy with a ERA in the middle of five, a 5.4 ERA after 2 years. But then he did work with his pitching coaches, who were Ethan Katz and Brian Bannister. And Logan Webb has won 37 games, got an ERA over three, just over three, was second in the Cy Young last year. It's the same sweeper that Eric Fetty has learned and applied is the one that Logan Webb learned and applied from the same coaches. Think Miles Michaelis, who was mediocre in the bigs, went away and came back after being in Korea and showed what he had learned and developed. It does happen. And I'm actually excited to watch Eric Fetty this year. I think he might be able to end up towards the top of that rotation. I don't know how much that says, but you want a guy I'm excited about? I just gave you one. I got a couple more. I want to hear yours along the way. And we'll talk White Sox and we'll talk Cubs this hour with you on 670 The Score. Let's start with Ron on the South Side, who gets us going on Hit and Run here on the 24th of March. We are back, baby. Full baseball boogie with opening day coming this Thursday. Morning, Ron.
And yes, in baseball, is still life. That open you play confirmed it. And all those scenarios you talked about, Speaks, yep, are wonderful. I enjoy them all, but as time has gone on, I just enjoy sitting here in my recliner with the window open and a nice breeze and enjoying baseball. That's my preference. So real quick, as far as what I'm looking forward to, so Natchez has to be towards the future, Speaks. So, yep.
And I think probably one of the most important is Drake Thorpe, because that was the key to the cease trade. If this doesn't pan out, well, that's a problem. Garrett Crochet definitely came up through the system. You know, I want to see him do it. And I know first base is not a sexy position. I think Andrew Vaughn is going to be with the team, so I, you know, want to see some progress by him. But lastly, Speaks, a question I have for you is Andrew Benintendi. I'm just hoping this contract does not turn into what was the catcher? Just got his name.
Grandal.
Yes, Ronnie Grandal. What he got for about four more years. Just hoping that that was just an off year. So I'm keeping an eye on that. Who is the player that he's going to be? So that, and you know, naturally you would want to say Luis Robert, but you know what he accomplished. But Spees, anybody to think that this team is going to win more than 68 games? They're not really watching. Last and yesterday, I was listening to DJ. And he was saying, if the team just plays clean, I'll be happy. I may be satisfied, not to be happy. The pity of clean baseball last year was Arizona Diamondback. But guess what? They have a lot of talent. So you can play clean, but you're still going to lose. So, all right. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Ron. Losing cleaner is one of the slogans I threw out there over the past couple of weeks. But, man, you got to celebrate playing clean and playing smart if they indeed can do that. And it's better than watching lumbering underproduction, which is what we saw last year. Lumbering or lackadaisical underproduction. And maybe this is for those of us who are going to watch and pay attention regardless. You know, you're not going to attract people and attract newbies or any kind of crosstown fan switch, which was on the table a few years ago, a magical moment of White Sox ascension as the Cubs were declining, that was an opportunity missed in terms of kids switching. Some of the notorious, you know, south side, north side switching that has gone on. It has gone on in decades past. That moment came and gone. But for those of us who are locked and loaded anyway, playing cleaner would be satisfying. I'll agree with satisfying over happy. But then wins are going to happen, man. It's baseball. That's a thing. 68 wins, 70 wins means 70 chances to feel good, feel happy, to go along with the satisfaction. Eh? I mean, what's your hit rate? What's your hit rate in life? 70 for 162? I mean, it's under 500. I hope you have more happy days than unhappy days in life.
I was like, what are you selling us, man? they're all going to be great.
How many people out there are unhappy for more than 60% of their lives? Sean, honest answer.
Oh, gosh.
White Sox baseball. It's happier than most of your friends.
Please come watch us.
Yeah, yeah. Mary, maybe that's not going to work.
There are still tickets available.
Yeah. You know, Sean, you're making it difficult for me. I told you I'm going to give that guy a leash. I don't want to laugh at that guy all the time. It's not fair. It's a tough job.
It's
you with your drops.
It's very nice of you, John Triffin.
Yeah, well, you know, you get sent out there to do the team's bidding. On the Bulls broadcast, that'd be something. You know, get sent out there to do the bidding. It's tough. It can be an awkward hang. It's all right. It's not his fault. They're going to be bad. Let's go to Ben in Queens on 670 The Score. Hello, Ben.
How's it going, Speaks? Love the show as always.
Oh, it's delightful. Okay. It's a good morning.
It always is. Listen, I want to talk about one thing and one thing only, and that's Ian Happ. Okay, I don't remember if you remember, but I called you last year when they extended him, and I had misgivings about the contract. Now, why did I have this? Because if you look at Ian Happ, okay, he came into the league gangbusters, right? It's a rookie, you know, third most home runs as a rookie as a Cub after Chris Bryant and Sweet Swing and Billy Williams. He had a 25% home run to fly ball rate basically through 2021. In 2022, he had his only decent year as a right-handed hitter, and he won the Gold Glove. He was decent. He finally found a place for him in left field. Okay, last year, they give him more plate appearances than he's ever had as a right-handed hitter. He's got a 90 weighted weighted runs created plus. And the thing is, he had a 309 on-base percentage as a right-handed hitter. He's 380 as a left-handed hitter. So he's definitely your leadoff hitter against right-handed batters. But against lefties, and this is what should have happened last year, and I think it's Exhibit A as to why David Ross got fired, which is the mishandling of Ian Happ. You know, Nelson Velasquez couldn't get in the lineup. He goes to Kansas City and 147 plate appearances. He has 14 home runs. Okay, meanwhile, Ian Happ, last year, defensively, he was bad. He was in the 6th percentile in outs above average, a minus 7. Okay, so this guy, if I want Canario batting against lefties, and then therefore Ian Happ will have even more value because as it is now, if you're playing him 691 plate appearances like you did last year, he's actually losing value in the long run, and you're losing pop from the right-hand side. Hey, I got a 20-second nugget on gathering crowds if you want it.
Oh, well, I do, but hang on one second. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Those kind of specific situational usage items, putting guys in the best position to succeed, are what we all expect Craig Counsell will do better. Okay. And maybe that means Nico Hoerner hitting leadoff against lefties. Maybe it means Canario in the lineup instead of Happ. I need to see Canario actually make the team, which is not fait accompli at this point. I think when healthy, you're going to see wisdom in there almost all the time against lefties. And maybe that will mean a shuffling that affects a bunch of other positions on the roster. It's entirely possible. So you're going to see a lot of Counsell moves to put people in the best situations. And he's been very, very good at it in his baseball life. So I look forward to that. Gathering crowds is the closer that we use from This Week in Baseball. Ben, if you're still there, give me your 20-second nugget on that. Maybe Ben is gone, and that's okay. Good. Ben, give me your 20. Give me your gathering crowds nugget. Yeah.
Okay, so we're both musicians. You know, gathering crowds was written as a stock piece of music for a music library. Think about that. It wasn't written for anything in particular. That's how much the music industry has changed in the past 50 years, that something like that was just written for, you know, to be around. Nowadays, you couldn't pay John Williams $1 million to write something that good. I love you, Spiegs. Goodbye.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. That's Ben in Queens. Yeah, it's just a stock piece of music, as was Jet Set, the opener. And I saw that Twib kind of reorchestrated and reproduced Jet Set, the opener, a couple of times during This Week in Baseball's run, but never gathering crowds. Jeff Belinfanti, the producer, said, "How am I gonna make that better? How am I gonna make that better?" That's good stuff from Ben on Ian Happ versus lefties.
So he's got something for you, man.
Yeah, he does. But you know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting how the lineups change, and everybody's going to have to be selfless. More of your phone calls in a matter of moments on 670 The Score. Everybody on that Cub roster is going to have to be selfless, and you'll hear a former starter talk about that, among other things, when we talk rotation at the top of the hour. Keep it here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Yeah, so I'm a huge fan of like teams getting to know each other and getting to trust each other and like building a foundation of feeling like everyone's in this together. And the one thing that I think always brings people together is something to band against, like something to hate or something to feel one particular way about. So I show up and I be as annoying as possible so that the rest of the organization can rally together and be like, man, doesn't John stink? And like, let him talk behind my back and kind of let all that stuff get going. And I have no idea if it works or not, because everyone's super nice and says nice things to my face. But what I'm hoping is that I'm creating enough disappointment among everyone else around me that they're all better teammates together for it. And then, you know, I'll just try and work my way in if I can.
Oh, that's funny. That's John Brebbia, White Sox reliever on the White Sox Talk podcast with Chuck Garfine and our buddy Ryan McGuffey. there, being the guy that teammates love to hate. Kevin Pillar is returning to the White Sox after being released on Friday, according to Daryl Van Scowen of the Chicago Sun-Times. So maybe Pillar will stay with the team and Robbie Grossman will start in AAA as he's getting ready for opening day. Grossman will play for the White Sox early and often this year, all things being healthy. Cubs rotation stuff at the top of the hour. Herb Lawrence from CHGO on the White Sox at about 10:25. So much to get to here on Hit and Run with opening day only 4 days away. To the phone lines we go. Let's talk to Stan in Bellwood on 670 The Score. Good morning, Stan. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. So we're here.
Yeah.
Ready to go. I love it. This is my favorite week of the year, Speaks.
Basketball
tournament leading into Major League Baseball. And I know you don't follow horse racing, but things are heating up there, too. We're on the road to the Kentucky Derby. So I'm in my glory right now.
Outstanding.
Listen, I've got I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, man.
Okay, I was just going to say, I got one hit for you on both sides of town, starting with the Cubs. Steve, I don't even understand the hand-wringing. I am nobody's Cub fan. You know that. But I fully expect them to win the National League Central. I'll be surprised if they don't. I'm picking them to win. The Cubs did everything right during the offseason. They brought Bellinger back. They upgraded at manager. They fortified their depth. The Imanaga signing looks pretty good. He looks like he may very well be the goods. They did everything right. They improved themselves better than the other contenders in the division. And it's a confident pick. I fully expect the Cubs to win the National League Central, and I will be surprised if they don't. As far as the White Sox are concerned, I have a polar opposite view. I fully expect them to finish last in the American League Central. I don't like anything or most of the moves that gets made. I am intrigued about Mike Soroka. Now, taking a flyer on him, I do think, was an excellent move on Getz's part. He could be a nice trade chip for them come the deadline if he continues with his improvement. I'm actually surprised that the Braves didn't wait to find out, you know, what's going on with him and that maybe he could be a back-end guy. But, I mean, before he got hurt, he had electric stuff. He looked like, he had star quality written all over him. So I'm intrigued to see how he continues to develop. The thing that ticks me off, though, about the White Sox, Steve, more than anything, is that if you're as bad or going to be as bad as they are this year, I don't like the idea of trying to win with journeymen, ex-Royals, no cheap nobodies. You know, I didn't like the DeJong signing. Maldonado's okay, but he's nearing the end. He brings no offense. You know, Kevin Pillar, Robbie Grossman, Mike Moustakas, all of that bunch. I don't like it. I think Corey Lee should be the number one catcher. I think Fletcher should be out there in the outfield. And I can't wait until Montgomery and Brian Ramos get up. Then I'll pay more attention to them. But, you know, right now with all these journeyman vets, I don't like it. I do think their bullpen has a chance to be good.
Understood, but Stan. About all these journeymans who are playing on a team that has no real aspirations. The problem is that a lot of kids aren't ready, you know, and that some of the backups are, you know, you want to give Braden Shumake all the starts at short instead of Paul DeJong, maybe. While you wait for Colson Montgomery, I could see that. You want to give Max Stassi all the starts instead of Martin Maldonado. Maldonado is a great fit 3 years ago, 4 years ago, you know, maybe even 5 years ago. It used to be a great handler of pitchers and a great framer. He's not anymore. and he's never been a real hitter. Used to be a great clubhouse guy. There are debates about whether he is even that anymore. But I get you. There's a disconnect. You're being asked to be patient through another rebuild, and you're watching a lot of kind of random journeymen getting it done there. There's a lot to chew on in that call. There's a lot to chew on with both these teams as we get you ready for opening day. Callers, hang on. We will definitely try to get you in here. We're going to talk about the Cubs rotation. Before we get out of here, we have to talk about this expanding Shohei Ohtani story. Now that MLB is investigating and some stuff has come out about some of the people involved, this whole thing is so ugly and shady. My goodness, we'll get there. And also Jack McMullen from Just Baseball will join us in the 11 o'clock hour. Keep it here on 670 The Score. It's Hit and Run for another couple hours.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Station 670. The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
The Score!
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
3 balls, 2 strikes, bases loaded. The payoff pitch, a swing, and a high drive. Deep right field. This one on its way. It is long gone. A grand slam from Seiya Suzuki. And the Cubs with a 9-run top of the first inning. One hit off the facing of the front of the Charo Lodge there, which is beyond the Giants' bullpen. A blast from Suzuki, his 4th home run of the spring.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Ladies and gentlemen, game on. This is not a drill. Ah, the low brass means we are here. That is the opening theme music to This Week in Baseball from decades ago. That one is called Jet Set. At the end of the show, you'll hear the closing music, which is called Gathering Crowds. And sparks a certain sense of joy and wistfulness and all sorts of deep-seated emotions. That's what Gathering Crowds does. But that's at the end of the show. That's to leave you with a certain feeling and vibe that will hopefully carry you all through the week up until next week's show as you survive inferior thought processes, inferior sports, and inferior radio shows, frankly. But here, Jet Set at the top will hopefully get you going. Good morning, everybody. I'm playful. I'm in a playful mood. It's me, Matt Spiegel, here with Hit and Run. We get to talk baseball every Sunday morning right here on 670 The Score in this unique two-team town. And opening day is here. The oddness of a March 28th opening day, a Thursday when everybody's in action. Gone are the Reds as the first day game. Gone is the staggered schedule of the first couple days. Here are all 30 teams in action with 15 games on Thursday. White Sox will be here hosting the Detroit Tigers. Would be a fun day to be strolling through the broadcast level, wouldn't it? For White Sox Tigers on Thursday. Cubs will be in Texas. Would be an awfully fun day to be in Texas and see the Rangers get fitted with their rings and an entire Cubs roster and organization looking, wondering when they might get to do the same. And you and I, well, we just get to hang out for baseball season. I'm excited. I need it. How about you? You know, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why it comes in handy to have baseball season right about now. One is our potential boredom with some other sports. You know, if you have some of that, it's understandable. Another reason to be excited is just because baseball is awesome. Another reason to be excited is that it does mean the weather is going to break. It does mean that things eventually are going to warm up, and you can picture yourself on the back porch, on the balcony, in the backyard, or just in the recliner with the window open, watching a game, listening to a game. Your six-month companion is close at hand. There's nothing like it, man. 162 games, absolutely nothing like it. I need baseball in my sports diet. Got a draft on Tuesday night for a fantasy league I'm very, very excited about. Are you in a league? Are you doing that this year? Do you do daily fantasy? Whatever it is for you, there's so many different ways to baseball these days. And I'm hoping you're looking forward to it. Maybe you're going to play Beat the Streak and try to win $56 million. Or is it $5.6 million? It doesn't really matter. It's impossible to win. Trust me, I tried. I documented it for a full season a couple of years ago. I was like, oh my God, I can do this. No, I can't. Wait, other people can do this. No, they can't. But it's still fun to try. Maybe I'll try again this year. Looking forward to talking to you all morning long. Cubs fans, Sox fans, baseball fans at 312-644-6767. That's the phone number. That's how you reach our producer, Sean Sears. And I'll be with you here all morning long. At about 10:25, our old friend Herb Lawrence, former Score teammate, now covers the White Sox for CHGO. Looking forward to talking to Herb. It's been a long time. Let's have a real conversation about the Chicago White Sox. And then Jack McMullen from Just Baseball, who was at spring breakout in Florida last week. Want to talk to him about prospects and really get you thinking about what Cubs prospects are going to impact the team this year and what White Sox prospects, if any, might impact the team this year. And the phone lines are open. The text lines are open. We all get to hang out and talk about your teams as you see fit. We are broadcasting, by the way, from the Hyundai studios. And we thank Hyundai and everyone at your local Hyundai dealers for helping us broadcast here. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Spring training action for the Cubs continues later on today against the Mariners. Coverage begins at 3 right here on 670 The Score with Zach Zaidman and Ron Coomer on the call. I was listening to Zach and Ron a bit yesterday. For the latest news on the Cubs or Sox, try listening to chapters from our show through the Odyssey app. Just search for 670 The Score and tap on a recent episode of our show to get started. And oh, by the way, this Thursday, Bernsey and Holmes and Rahimi will be live from 10 to 2 at Buffalo Wings and Rings on Halstead prior to the White Sox home opener. That's brought to you by Modelo. And then Monday, the 1st of April, they're going to be at Sluggers in Wrigleyville from 10 to 12:45. Brought to you by BetMGM. That's before the Cubs home opener at Wrigley Field. Join the midday show, Bernsey, Holmes, and Rahimi for both those shows to kick off the baseball season on March 28th and on April 1st right here on 670 The Score. So here's the thing. I think the Cubs are going to be good. I think they are the favorite to win that division. They ought to be the favorite to win that division. The division does not scare me right now. The Reds, have you noticed the Reds' injuries? The Reds are the team that I thought might be putting it all together by this time. If you'd asked me early next year who would be the biggest rival, the team that you'd fear the most next season, the way that the Cardinals were playing last year, I would have said the Reds. That interesting mix that always has to happen between all the kids kind of arriving together and the well-chosen free agent and veteran signing. They really haven't done much with the well-chosen free agent and veteran signing. Just a couple things, but now a lot of the kids are injured. Matt McClain's shoulder is a big problem. He's out for a while. Nick Friedel is out for a while. Their prospect, Edwin Arroyo, is out. He's going to miss the whole year. Noel V. Marte got an 80-game suspension. That's a big time prospect that they were hoping to get something from this year. So they are battered, by injuries and suspension. They're starting Frankie Montas on opening day. Is some sort of message to Hunter Green? I can't really figure that out. Anyway, the Reds have not coalesced to add up to the kind of rival that scared me within the National League Central. In terms of the Brewers, no Corbin Burns at the top of that rotation. No Brandon Woodruff anymore. That era is over. Freddie Peralta gets the opening day start. Wade Miley is the number two starter. Devin Williams, the closer, is going to miss several months. The Craig Council magic is gone. Will his buddy Pat Murphy, Murph, be able to carry on some of what the Brewers do? Sure, some of it, and they've got some good young players. Jackson Churio is the opening day center fielder, and he's going to be interesting. He's played all of six games at AAA, basically skipping AAA. Signed an $82 million contract and will be the opening day center fielder. But anyway, the real rival, the team that scares me the most, it's the Cardinals. I think we're back. I think we're back to a Cubs-Cardinals-led division. Well, they played awful defense last year. Sean, there's reasons to feel like the Cardinals are not ready, truly. They played awful defense all year, which was a hallmark. That went away. We'll see if it comes back. Mm-hmm. Both Goldschmidt and Arenado took offensive steps backwards last year. And then they signed like four pitchers over the age of 36. Something like that. They got a huge pile of olds in the rotation.
They got to replace Adam Wainwright somehow.
Yeah, that's right. They got a bunch of dudes who are nearing Adam Wainwright status. Now, but they're still the Cardinals, and I suspect that Goldschmidt and Arenado will step it back up. But here's the thing. These Cubs are good. They are. They're not great. I wouldn't pick them right now to be great. But great's on the table because they're also not done putting the team together. The way that Craig Council talks about all the depth and all the kids, you can tell that he is serious about wanting to use everybody. And he should. They've got a bunch of kids who could and will contribute. Christopher Morel gets the shot at third base every day. If I had to set the over-under on Matt Shaw's arrival at MLB, July 1, something like that, could even see earlier, theoretically.
I told David Haw June.
Maybe June 15. It's usually where I set those things. Mm-hmm. June 15, July 1, somewhere in there. Folks, in terms of this starting rotation, Justin Steele is your ace, and we'll talk plenty about that rotation. I'm a believer in Justin Steele. I'm glad he's okay after taking that ball off the knee earlier in the week. But there will be a big right-handed bat misser in this rotation by the end of July. And I'm not sure if it's going to be a trade deadline acquisition or if it's going to be Cade Horton or Ben Brown. Somebody's going to get added along the way here, especially if this team shows that they're worthy. And I think they're going to show that they're worthy because some of the mistakes from last year at the beginning of the year that frankly cost them the division are not going to be repeated by Craig Council because he's overseeing all sorts of processes. And he's in on every conversation. If Council's here last year, I think Mike Tauchman probably starts the year with the big club. Then you're not dealing with some of the right field absurdity that we were dealing with. And I don't even know if Council's here last offseason, if they signed Eric Hosmer, if they signed Trey Mancini, if they signed Tucker Barnhart, all three of those were disasters. It's just an extra voice who gets listened to in the mix by Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins might have made a difference with some of the biggest mistakes of last spring. The bottom line is there's a lot of good players, and the good players are going to hit towards the top of the lineup. We're going to see Bellinger in the top three. We will see Seiya Suzuki in the top three. You heard his grand slam right there. Remember that in his final 47 games last year, Suzuki hit 356 with an on-base of 414 and a slugging percentage of 672. That's 47 games. He was well over 1,100 in OPS with 37 RBIs, 34 runs scored. I really do believe that benching in early August woke him up, changed something, and he is ready to unleash full Seiya. So we'll see. But Suzuki and Bellinger will be in the top of the lineup. Probably Ian Happ, because the truth about the leadoff position is that a guy who has an OBP of 360 with 21 homers and 14 steals, it's not elite, but that can play among leadoff hitters around baseball. Take a look around at the walks and the OBP among leadoff hitters in baseball, and Happ's a lot higher than you think. An imperfect player, yes. But worthy of the top three, I think so. So I'm suspecting if he's healthy, we get a Happ, Suzuki, Bellinger top three with Christopher Morel four and Nico Horner revitalizing a bottom third of the lineup by hitting probably seventh. Something like that is what I'm betting on. And somewhere in the middle between that four and seven is the guy who is the key to the Cubs' offensive success, and that's Michael Busch. He really is the key to me. If that is legit left-handed stick in the middle with some pop, and I saw him homer twice in spring, I did a game where he both homered and doubled off left-handed pitching. If that is real and legit, the lineup makes a hell of a lot more sense and becomes a lot more daunting from both sides.
Speaks, how is the ball coming off his bat? I've heard it's like you see him in one game and you're like, okay, this ball flies off his bat. What was your impression?
Yeah, no, I was very impressed. Was very impressed with the way the ball came off Michael Busch's bat. Impressed with the swing. A nice wide stance, but comfortable. Albert Pujols, he told me, is the first guy that he grew up loving and imitating at the plate. But there's some interesting pieces in there, and there are more kids ready to help. We'll talk rotation later, but I've got a friend who bets overs and unders on win totals every year, and I've advised him to hammer the Cubs win total that he got of 83.5. I'd hammer 84.5. I think this team is going to win the division. I'm not going to say it's an 80-win floor, because that was last year's storyline and last year's life that I had to lead. But I have told him to go ahead and hammer that 83.5. Because remember, this was not some broken offense last year. Yes, you wanted more homers, and hopefully they'll get some with Busch, who's the only real full-time addition to what they are putting out there. But this was an offense that was third in runs last year. It was not broken. They did a lot of non-homer things well to try and get runs across. Now if they get some more pop to go in with it, and they're used better, they're utilized better with the council effect. I'm looking forward to the way that is. Phone lines are wide open for you, the Cub fan, at 312-644-6767. First hour dedicated to you guys and me. And the White Sox fans, it is wide open for you as well. And it's a tough spot. The White Sox still have 42 players in camp. They just added Robbie Grossman. And there's way too much interest and excitement about Robbie Grossman for a big league team. But Robbie Grossman can play a little bit, and we'll talk about him along the way. It's just a tricky spot because the roster is almost set now, but they wanted it to be well set by the 19th. And, well, look, can we go ahead and play what they're selling to themselves and what they're selling to you? We'll play it when we come back, Sean. We'll play. Yeah, no, not that, not that. That guy gets a little bit of a leash from me. I know how hard it is to do play-by-play. John Schriffen gets a little bit of a leash from me.
Hey, just
he just hasn't done enough baseball. Give the man time to do some baseball. You want to talk about the hiring and the pool and all that? You can. But in terms of listening to the broadcast and judging the broadcast, I'm going to give that man some leash. I'm hosting the PBP, the Play-by-Play Podcast, PBP, Voices of Baseball. You can just search Voices of Baseball anywhere you get your podcasts. Season 2 is going to come out in a couple of weeks here. And I know way too much about how difficult it is from research and from practice to go ahead and hammer from the get-go. So we'll see. But we'll play what the White Sox are selling you and discuss what the actual White Sox reality is. Because it's tough. There are a few things to get excited about. Just a few I've got. Let's see. One, two, okay, three. I think I've got three. I mean, maybe four, but I'll find more. We always find more, don't we? But here's where it is. Here's what I'm asking you, the callers, the 312-644-6767. You think the Cubs are good? Are they the favorite to win this division? And you, the White Sox fan, I really want to know if in this year of an obvious rebuild, in year one of the Chris Getz era, in another year of the Pedro Grifol era, with all these acquisitions and all who have gone away, who are you excited about? What are you excited about? I'm curious. I'm genuinely curious. I've got a few, and I'll be sharing them with you this hour, that's for sure. But I'm curious what you genuinely have in your baseball heart to feel excited about and to feel good about. Let me know. Phone number is 312-644-6767. You can dial it in at any time. Text line is the same, and you can reach us there. The Score is always available for you. Also on Twitter, at Hit and Run, or at Matt Spiegel 670. Sean Sears is here. I'm here. We'll play what the White Sox are selling to themselves and to you when we come back and discuss if reality agrees or not. It is Hit and Run. We're back on the 24th of March on 670 The Score.
We're back with more Hit and Run.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball.
On 670 The Score.
No crying.
I see a winning team being developed. It starts in the clubhouse. And I know fans, they only see what's going on the field. But when it gets, you know, in those dog days of summer or late in the season, you have a group of guys that you're going to be able to trust are handling their business to prepare for a game, to stay connected, and just to be bought in to help bring a championship here. Like, when you hear guys talking about selflessness, like, I promise you that's going on inside the clubhouse.
That is White Sox outfielder Brett Phillips. If you had told me that Brett Phillips was only 29, I never would have believed you. It's Matt Spiegel here on 670 The Score. My goodness, I remember Brett Phillips being a big part of the Josh Hader and Carlos Gomez trade way back when, between the Brewers and the Astros, and Phillips was part of that, and then Phillips traded in the Mike Moustakas deal to the Royals, and then he was in Tampa Bay for some of their years, including in the World Series against the Dodgers. And then he's bounced around Baltimore and the Angels. Now a minor league deal with the White Sox in January. And it looks like he's going to break camp with this team now that Kevin Pillar and the aforementioned Mike Moustakas are gone. Brett Phillips is a great glue guy, a really solid bottom of the roster guy. They've got a lot of people who might fill that kind of role. The question is if they have enough good players to be a decent team. It is opening day on Thursday. This is when hopes should be springing eternal. And I hear you, Texter. Texter says, I like your show, but I don't like your negativity about the White Sox. That is ridiculous. Anything can happen in baseball. That's from Steve. Steve, it's true. We've seen it. We've seen crazy things happen. And hey, John Paul Morosi from MLB Network said last week on Parkins and Spiegel that he thinks it's possible the White Sox could have a winning record. It needs to be proven to me. Here's what they're selling you. Here's what the White Sox are talking about in terms of FAST, what it's all about. This is from a behind-the-scenes video that was released the other day on Twitter. And callers, we're going to get to you on Cubs and Sox at 312-644-6767. If you want to hop in, this hour is wide open for your calls and for me. Here's the behind-the-scenes video.
This offseason, we talked about trust, professionalism, and execution.
We also talked about playing fast, what exactly fast means. It doesn't mean speed. It means, you know, fearless, aggressive, selfless, technically sound.
Executing. Give it to us, we take it.
First and third, one out. Keep it off the ground in the middle. Come on. Two.
Wow, bro.
That's got to be our identity.
That one is hit hard. Trying to go first to third is Moncada. This new White Sox squad, they're taking extra bases. This is fun.
This is the kind of baseball that Pedro wants the Sox to play.
When people watch us play and when other teams are playing against us, they need to know who the f*** we are and what we bring to the table every single day. So that takes us to March 19th. After March 19th, we have 5 games left. Those last 5 games, I want to play full speed. Starter, bullpens, matchups, signs, the whole thing. And my questions are, where are we right now? And where do we need to be on March 28th? We keep moving forward to where we want to be on opening day.
So March 19th is when Pedro Grifol wanted to be locked and loaded and play the last 5 games at full speed. The problem is the roster is still massive. Big decisions are still happening. They have a bigger roster right now. They have more people in camp right now than just about any team in baseball, with 42 people in camp still making big, big decisions. That's the way they want to play. And look, if they play that way, and if they play fun, if they play clean, if they play with good vibes and good fundamentals, that will be a satisfying watch if you're giving yourself to it. It's just a question of if the results will be there to keep you interested and make you interested from the get-go. Last year, they didn't play clean. They didn't play well right from the start. That division was over. That season was over after a month, and everybody knew it, and that meant the window was over after a month. I would love to see a positive start. It's just, it's going to take a lot of people stepping up. And some of the people that they're hoping on, it's hard to get super excited about. I'll be honest, Nick Nastrini, the Dodgers young pitcher who comes into the rotation and has a shot to make it right away, got roughed up badly in his last start. 5 earned runs, 5 hits, and 3 and a third. Walked 5, didn't get a strikeout. He said that the location was off, and so he had to come in fastball, and they were all sitting on fastball. He's one of many, many guys towards the bottom end of rotations all around baseball. Your command can't be off, because if they can sit on one versus the other, and if it's one especially, they're going to gobble you up. Dominic Fletcher is one of the few interesting kind of youngish players who can grow and develop on this team. That's David Fletcher's little brother. Kind of handed the right field job in early spring. The former Diamondback, you know, Josh Barfield, one of the new executives, knows him well and believes in him. He's had a very rough spring, 7-for-44 with 18 Ks. Did hit a 2-run homer the other day. He's pretty much locked into being your starting right fielder, maybe your backup center fielder for Luis Robert. Now that Kevin Pillar has been bounced, I don't think we'll see Gavin Sheets out there in right field anymore. I hope we do not. Those are like two guys I was excited about, but it's been a tough spring. I'll give you one that I am excited about as we get ready to take your calls, and that's Eric Fetty. Yeah, I'm that guy. I'm that guy excited about Eric Fetty. Okay? He was really bad in Washington after 5 years at an ERA in the middle fives, 88 starts, 102 games. But then while he was in Korea, he added the sweeper slider, added the split changeup, got a better feel for his sinker, changed his attack plan, and dominated in Korea last year. 20-6 with a 2.00 ERA, 209 Ks, just 35 walks and 180 in a third innings. And here's the thing. His workout buddy, his partner in development for several years, has been Logan Webb, who was not an instant success with the Giants. He was a guy with a ERA in the middle of five, a 5.4 ERA after 2 years. But then he did work with his pitching coaches, who were Ethan Katz and Brian Bannister. And Logan Webb has won 37 games, got an ERA over 3, just over 3, was second in the Cy Young last year. It's the same sweeper that Eric Fetty has learned. and applied is the one that Logan Webb learned and applied from the same coaches. Think Miles Michaelis, who was mediocre in the bigs, went away and came back after being in Korea and showed what he had learned and developed. It does happen. And I'm actually excited to watch Eric Fetty this year. I think he might be able to end up towards the top of that rotation. I don't know how much that says, but you want a guy I'm excited about? I just gave you one. I got a couple more. I want to hear yours along the way. And we'll talk White Sox and we'll talk Cubs this hour with you on 670 The Score. Let's start with Ron on the South Side, who gets us going on Hit and Run here on the 24th of March. We are back, baby. Full baseball boogie with opening day coming this Thursday. Morning, Ron.
And yes, and baseball is still life. That open you play confirmed it. And all those scenarios you talked about, Speaks, are wonderful. I enjoy them all, but as time has gone on, I just enjoy sitting here in my recliner with the window open and a nice breeze and enjoying baseball. That's my preference. So real quick, as far as what I'm looking forward to, so Natchez has to be towards the future, Speak. So, and I think one of the most important is Drake Thorpe, because that was the key to the Cease trade. If this doesn't pan out, well, that's a problem. Garrett Crochet definitely came up through the system. You know, I want to see him do it. And I know first base is not a sexy position. I think Andrew Vaughn is going to be with the team, so I, you know, want to see some progress by him. But lastly, Speaks, a question I have for you is Andrew Benintendi. I'm just hoping this contract does not turn into what was the catcher? Just forgot his name.
Grandal.
Yes, Ronnie Grandal. What he got for about 4 more years? Just hoping that was just an off year. So I'm keeping an eye on that. Who is the player that he's going to be? So that, and you know, naturally you would want to say Luis Robert, but you know what he accomplished. But Speaks, anybody to think that this team is going to win more than 68 games, they're not really watching. Last year, yesterday I was listening to DJ, and he was saying, if the team just plays clean, I'll be happy. I may be satisfied, not to be happy. The pity of clean baseball last year was Arizona Diamondbacks. But guess what? They have a lot of talent. So you can play clean, but you're still going to lose. So, all right. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Ron. Losing cleaner is one of the slogans I threw out there over the past couple weeks. But, man, you got to celebrate playing clean and playing smart if they indeed can do that. And it's better than watching lumbering underproduction, which is what we saw last year. Lumbering or lackadaisical underproduction. And maybe this is for those of us who are going to watch and pay attention regardless. You know, you're not going to attract people and attract newbies or any kind of crosstown fan switch, which was on the table a few years ago. A magical moment of White Sox ascension as the Cubs were declining. That was an opportunity missed in terms of kids switching. Some of the notorious, you know, South Side, North Side switching that has gone on. It has gone on in decades past. That moment came and gone. But for those of us who are locked and loaded anyway, playing cleaner would be satisfying. I'll agree with satisfying over happy, but then wins are going to happen, man. It's baseball. That's a thing. 68 wins, 70 wins means 70 chances to feel good, feel happy, to go along with the satisfaction. I mean, what's your hit rate? What's your hit rate in life? 70 for 162? I mean, it's under 500. I hope you have more happy days than unhappy days in life.
I was like, what are you selling us, man? they're all going to be great.
How many people out there are unhappy for more than 60% of their lives? Sean, honest answer. White Sox baseball. It's happier than most of your friends.
Please come watch us.
Yeah, yeah. Mary, maybe that's not going to work.
There are still tickets available.
Yeah. You know, Sean, you're making it difficult for me. I told you I'm going to give that guy a leash. I don't want to laugh at that guy all the time. It's not fair. It's a tough job.
It's a
you
very
with
tough
your drops.
Job. It's
you
very,
with your
it's
drops.
Very nice of you, John Schriffen.
Yeah, well, you know, you get sent out there to do the team's bidding. On the Bulls broadcast, that'd be something. You know, get sent out there to do the bidding. It's tough. It can be an awkward hang. It's all right. It's not his fault. They're going to be bad. Let's go to Ben in Queens on 670 The Score. Hello, Ben.
How's it going, Speaks? Love the show as always.
Oh, it's delightful. Okay. It's a good morning.
It always is. Listen, I want to talk about one thing and one thing only, and that's Ian Happ. Okay, I don't remember if you remember, but I called you last year when they extended him, and I had misgivings about the contract. Now, why did I have this? Because if you look at Ian Happ, okay, he came into the league gangbusters, right? It's a rookie, you know, third most home runs as a rookie as a Cub after Chris Bryan and Sweet Swing and Billy Williams. He had a 25% home run to fly ball rate basically through 2021. In 2022, he had his only decent year as a right-handed hitter, and he won the Gold Glove. He was decent. He finally found a place for him in left field. Okay, last year, they give him more plate appearances than he's ever had as a right-handed hitter. He's got a 90 weighted runs created plus. And the thing is, he had a 309 on-base percentage as a right-handed hitter. He's 380 as a left-handed hitter. So he's definitely your leadoff hitter against right-handed batters. But against lefties, and this is what should have happened last year, and I think it's Exhibit A as to why David Ross got fired, which is the mishandling of Ian Happ. You know, Nelson Velasquez couldn't get in the lineup. He goes to Kansas City and 147 plate appearances. He has 14 home runs. Okay, meanwhile, Ian Happ, last year, defensively, he was bad. He was in the 6th percentile in outs above average, a minus 7. Okay, so this guy, if I want Canario batting against lefties, and then therefore Ian Happ will have even more value because as it is now, if you're playing him 691 plate appearances like you did last year, he's actually losing value in the long run, and you're losing pop from the right-hand side. Hey, I got a 20-second nugget on gathering crowds if you want it.
Well, I do, but hang on one second. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Those kind of specific situational usage items, putting guys in the best position to succeed, are what we all expect Craig Counsell will do better. Okay. And maybe that means Nico Hoerner hitting leadoff against lefties. Maybe it means Canario in the lineup instead of Happ. I need to see Canario actually make the team, which is not fait accompli at this point. I think when healthy, you're going to see wisdom in there almost all the time against lefties. And maybe that will mean a shuffling that affects a bunch of other positions on the roster. It's entirely possible. So you're going to see a lot of Counsell moves to put people in the best situations. And he's been very, very good at it in his baseball life. So I look forward to that. Gathering crowds is the closer that we use from This Week in Baseball. Ben, if you're still there, give me your 20-second nugget on that. Maybe Ben is gone, and that's okay. Good. Ben, give me your 20. Give me your gathering crowds nugget. Yeah.
Okay, so we're both musicians. You know, gathering crowds was written as a stock piece of music for a music library. Think about that. It wasn't written for anything in particular. That's how much the music industry has changed in the past 50 years, that something like that was just written for, you know, to be around. Nowadays, you couldn't pay John Williams $1 million to write something that good. I love you, Speaks. Goodbye.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. That's Ben in Queens. Yeah, it's just a stock piece of music, as was Jet Set, the opener. And I saw that Twib kind of reorchestrated and reproduced Jet Set, the opener, a couple of times during This Week in Baseball's run, but never gathering crowds. Jeff Belinfanti, the producer, said, "How am I gonna make that better? How am I gonna make that better?" That's good stuff from Ben on Ian Happ versus lefties.
So he's got something for you, man.
Yeah, he does. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting how the lineups change. And everybody's going to have to be selfless. More of your phone calls in a matter of moments on 670 The Score. Everybody on that Cub roster is going to have to be selfless. And you'll hear a former starter talk about that, among other things, when we talk rotation at the top of the hour. Keep it here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Yeah, so I'm a huge fan of, like, teams getting to know each other and getting to trust each other and like building a foundation of feeling like everyone's in this together. And the one thing that I think always brings people together is something to band against, like something to hate or something to feel one particular way about. So I show up and I be as annoying as possible so that the rest of the organization can rally together and be like, man, doesn't John stink? And like, let him talk behind my back and kind of let all that stuff get going. And I have no idea if it works or not, because everyone's super nice and says nice things to my face. But what I'm hoping is that I'm creating enough disappointment among everyone else around me that they're all better teammates together for it. And then, you know, I'll just try and work my way in if I can.
Oh, that's funny. That's John Brebbia, White Sox reliever on the White Sox Talk podcast with Chuck Garfine and our buddy Ryan McGuffey. There, being the guy that teammates love to hate. Kevin Pillar is returning to the White Sox after being released on Friday, according to Daryl Van Scowen of the Chicago Sun-Times. So maybe Pillar will stay with the team and Robbie Grossman will start in AAA as he's getting ready for opening day. Grossman will play for the White Sox early and often this year, all things being healthy. Cubs rotation stuff at the top of the hour. Herb Lawrence from CHGO on the White Sox at about 10:25. So much to get to here on Hit and Run with opening day only 4 days away. To the phone lines we go. Let's talk to Stan in Bellwood on 670 The Score. Good morning, Stan. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. So we're here.
Yeah.
Ready to go. I love it. This is my favorite week of the year, Speaks. Basketball tournament leading into Major League Baseball. And I know you don't follow horse racing, but the things are heating up there, too. We're on the road to the Kentucky Derby. So I'm in my glory right now.
Outstanding.
Listen, I've got I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, man.
Okay, I was just going to say, I got one hit for you on both sides of town, starting with the Cubs. Steve, I don't even understand the hand-wringing. I am nobody's Cub fan. You know that. But I fully expect them to win the National League Central. I'll be surprised if they don't. I'm picking them to win. The Cubs did everything right during the offseason. They brought Bellinger back. They upgraded at manager. They fortified their depth. The Imanaga signing looks pretty good. He looks like he may very well be the goods. They did everything right. They improved themselves better than the other contenders in the division. And it's a confident pick. Like I said, I fully expect the Cubs to win the National League Central, and I will be surprised if they don't. As far as the White Sox are concerned, I have a polar opposite view. I fully expect them to finish last in the American League Central. I don't like anything or most of the moves that gets made. I am intrigued about Mike Soroka. Now, taking a flyer on him, I do think was an excellent move on Getz's part. He could be a nice trade chip for them come the deadline if he continues with his improvement. I'm actually surprised that the Braves didn't wait to find out, you know, what's going on with him and that maybe he could be a back-end guy. But, I mean, before he got hurt, he had electric stuff. He looked like, he had star quality written all over him. So I'm intrigued to see how he continues to develop. The thing that ticks me off, though, about the White Sox, Steve, more than anything, is that if you're as bad or going to be as bad as they are this year, I don't like the idea of trying to win with journeyman ex-Royals, no cheap nobodies. Yeah, I didn't like the DeJong signing. Maldonado's okay, but he's nearing the end. He brings no offense. You know, Kevin Pillar, Robbie Grossman, Mike Moustakas, all of that bunch. I don't like it. I think Corey Lee should be the number one catcher. I think Fletcher should be out there in the outfield. And I can't wait until Montgomery and Brian Ramos get up. Then I'll pay more attention to them. But, you know, right now with all these journeyman vets, I don't like it. I do think their bullpen has a chance to be good.
Understood, but Stan. About all these journeymans who are playing on a team that has no real aspirations. The problem is that a lot of kids aren't ready, you know, and that some of the backups are, you know, you want to give Braden Shumake all the starts at short instead of Paul DeJong, maybe, while you wait for Colson Montgomery. I could see that. You want to give Max Stassi all the starts instead of Martin Maldonado. Maldonado is a great fit 3 years ago, 4 years ago, you know, maybe in 5 years ago. It used to be a great handler of pitchers and a great framer. He's not anymore, and he's never been a real hitter. Used to be a great clubhouse guy. There are debates about whether he is even that anymore. But I get you. There's a disconnect. You're being asked to be patient through another rebuild, and you're watching a lot of kind of random journeymen getting it done there. There's a lot to chew on in that call. There's a lot to chew on with both these teams as we get you ready for opening day. Callers, hang on. We will definitely try to get you in here. We're going to talk about the Cubs rotation. Before we get out of here, we have to talk about this expanding Shohei Ohtani story. Now that MLB is investigating and some stuff has come out about some of the people involved, this whole thing is so ugly and shady. My goodness, we'll get there. And also Jack McMullen from Just Baseball will join us in the 11 o'clock hour. Keep it here on 670 The Score. It's Hit and Run for another couple hours.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Port Trek. Pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.